Good morning and welcome to the weekend, my friends. Here we are. It is 6:08. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Weekend!
True.
Yes, we have officially made it. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Ton of stuff to talk about. So let's get right to it. Bernie Kerik. Remember him? NYPD commissioner, known as America's Cop after 9/11. He's passed away at the age of 69, believed to be heart illness related. He was 69, surrounded by family and friends at the time of his death. High-profile career, peppered with success and some controversy. Hired a maid who was an illegal back in the day, and also there was tax issues in which he ended up going to prison. It was Trump who actually pardoned him in his first go-around. Yep, but most of the people speak very glowingly of him, including, you know, the New York mayor had nice things to say about him as well. So anyway, Bernie Kerik, and of course he's one of those, when you see his face immediately you tell, oh yep,
that guy.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
A former CIA station chief says China has U.S. military service members and government employees in the crosshairs of its overseas spy operations. Jin Zhao and Li Tian, both active-duty Army soldiers, arrested in early March after allegedly selling top-secret information to individuals based in China, according to the DOJ. They were both indicted by federal grand juries in Washington and Oregon. Prosecutors alleged that Tian sold sensitive military information to former soldier Royu Duan, who had allegedly received money from individuals residing in China. All right, so the point of at least me bringing this story up now, part of it is, oh, so you want to question whether or not we should allow Chinese nationals to come and be educated in our universities. Well, if China is very active in their little spy game, then that, to me, that is reason enough. Say, oh, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. We know what you're doing. You're targeting some of our military folks who happen to be, you know, Chinese. So it goes exactly to what I've said many times. When the Chinese Communist Party calls on you, you will answer the call if you're from China.
Yeah, no is not a possible answer.
It's not even part of the language.
That explains why.
Well, it could be.
It could.
But anyway, so a very, very serious thing. And if this is, they caught them, but they believe that, oh, no, they are targeting all kinds of military folks and trying to get them to spy.
This would come into play of your code of not shocked.
Yes.
Not a bit.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why you've got to be supportive of vetting heavily or not letting in at all Chinese nationals for a period of time. What did we have at one time? I think 300,000 on student visas, something like that.
Okay, well, that's crazy. Go wrong.
Yeah, and they don't they don't respect you know, our rules, trademarks, things like that.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to share that story with you. Obviously, that information is top secret. Could be very damaging. Who else hates America and will sell us out? Well, a government employee in Virginia, arrested on Thursday after he attempted to share classified information with an officer or agent of a foreign government, according to DOJ. Nathan Latch, 28-year-old IT specialist employed by the Defense Intelligence Agency since 2019, arrested after the FBI received a tip in March that someone was willing to provide classified information to a friendly foreign government. He was a civilian employee in the DIA's Insider Threat Division and held a top security clearance. Why would you do that? I'm pretty sure that these folks get paid fairly well. He's only 28. You're going to sell out your country? And what's your defense going to be?
Yeah.
I only wanted to sell it to, you know, friendly foreign governments.
Oh, that makes it okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and what are you utilizing as your metric to determine what is friendly versus unfriendly?
The payoff.
Yeah. An email to the FBI said that the person, later identified as Latch, didn't agree or align with the values of the Trump administration and would be willing to share classified information that he could access, including completed intelligence products, some unprocessed intel, and other assorted classified documentation. Again, now we know the motive. It wasn't money. He hates Trump.
Right.
And he's in a position of sensitivity. Yeah.
So by hurting your own country to somehow get at Trump makes it okay.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Hurting Trump is the agenda. If it also happens to put your nation in some sort of peril, well, that's kind of, oops, that's the side effect. Look, these are the same idiots that went along with the open border stuff. Now, sorry about all those dead family members because of fentanyl. Oops, sorry that, your children or people you know ended up in some kind of sex trade operation or whatever. Oh, sorry, you know people that got killed by the cartel as they expanded their operation. Oh, so sorry. But open borders, we've got to have open borders. Same kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. So Trump hater sells out America. That should be the headline. Trump hater sells out America.
But you got to read the whole story to get to that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you got that going on. Then you have the FBI launching an investigation into an orchestrated plot to digitally impersonate White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. Authorities were flagged in recent weeks after senators, governors, and even U.S. business executives began receiving text messages and phone calls from someone claiming to be the Chief of Staff. According to the Wall Street Journal, which initially reported the story, none of the messages came from Wiles. None of them. FBI officials do not believe a foreign nation orchestrated the impersonation. What? Really? You made that determination a little quickly. The White House takes the cybersecurity of all staff very seriously, and this matter continues to be investigated. Yeah, apparently they believe that the use of AI and voice impersonation was a part of it.
Oh, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that.
I say, let's blame the Democrats unless we find out otherwise.
And even then, they're probably still connected somewhere.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Could be. It is 6:16. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Happy Friday. Come on, weekend. 97.3 The Sky. De tariffs.
Wow.
Good morning and welcome. It is Friday.
Finally.
It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Let's call it, 6:19. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Gator baseball team played at noon today in a regional. They take on East Carolina. That's at noon. That's on the Deuce ESPN2. All right, and the Gator girls lost. Heartbreaker yesterday, 3-0. I think they've got it because they're in the loser's bracket. Now they got to play again tonight. We'll dig into that in a little bit. What else do we have going on? Oh, de-tariffs. De-tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that?
Something different every day?
So, first of all, you had that 3-judge panel that said, no, you can't do the tariffs. And they were immediately able to kind of freeze everything, stop that. But then an appeals court yesterday stayed the ruling of the U.S. court, and so the tariffs are back in effect.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And Trump, even though he knows they're back in effect, at least temporarily, I believe, until June sometime in June. First, I think the second week of June. So they've got a couple weeks to try to put their case together. I know there's not a lot of time.
No.
But, yeah. Thursday, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit allowed Trump's tariffs to temporarily remain in effect. Just one day before the U.S. Court of International Trade on Wednesday ruled that Trump overstepped his authority over tariffs under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. On Truth Social, Trump wrote that the U.S. Court of International Trade incredibly ruled against the desperately needed tariffs, but the order was stayed by a federal court. Where do these initial three judges come from? How is it possible for them to have potentially done some damage, such damage, to the U.S.? Is it purely a hatred of Trump? What other reason could it be? Yeah, that's part of it, because apparently they have a history that goes back literally decades. The judges on the U.S. Court of International Trade, who ruled that President Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariffs are illegal, have a history of Democrat Party activism. Shocked?
Not shocked.
Okay. Each of the members of the three-judge panel issuing the Wednesday ruling, which was stayed Thursday by the appeals court, allowing the tariffs to continue. But these members fit the profile of other activist judges who continue their political activism after joining the court. Judges Gary Katzmann, Timothy Reif, and Jane Rastani have histories of supporting Democrat candidates that span as far back as 45 years and have thwarted Trump's authority in both of his administrations, earning allegations of judicial activism.
That's interesting.
And, of course, Trump went off on them. Katzmann was nominated by Obama in 2015, attended Columbia, Oxford, and Yale, later clerked for Stephen Breyer, and this is back when Breyer was on the First Circuit Court of Appeals. He was a researcher at the Center for Criminal Justice at Harvard, as well as a lecturer at Harvard Law School.
Ooh, a little reactionary motion there from a Harvard grad, you think, maybe, too?
Oh, that could be kind of rolled up right in there.
The latitude?
Yeah. Although Katzmann is a registered unaffiliated voter in Massachusetts.
Well, you're a judge. You probably should be.
He voted in 2018, 2016, and 2014 Democrat primaries. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that then they don't have close primaries, right? Wouldn't he have to register as a Democrat?
Gotcha.
They must be open.
Yeah.
November of 2021, Katzmann struck down some tariffs imposed by former President Donald Trump on imported solar panels, finding that Trump had clearly overstepped his authority by hiking those tariffs last year. This was back in 2021. Katzmann was also part of a three-judge panel in Massachusetts that found a Massachusetts law banning the sale, transfer, or possession of an assault weapon is not unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. Additionally, he participated in a mock trial and appeals program by left-wing Discovering Justice, a group working for an equitable democracy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So activist judges, again, shocked, no, not shocked, not surprised.
No.
All right. But, yeah, Trump sounded off on it. Right now, the Court of Appeals is on his side, but they will have to handle this legally pretty quickly before the other court, I guess, would allow the tariffs to be stopped. This is a great a tool that the president is using to get us on better or more equal footing when it comes to trade imbalances. He's looking out for the American people. These judges clearly are just activist judges who are going to hate anything that Trump is doing. They absolutely do not want him to be successful. So in essence, they are rooting and ruling against our very nation. Department of Defense slashing more waste, according to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. When President Trump asked me to serve as the Secretary of Defense, he gave all of us and me the mission of restoring the warrior ethos, and we're focused on that every single day. And he said what works at DOD and also what doesn't work, and examining where they are spending taxpayer dollars. And they've discovered that Defense Department has become very much over-reliant on management consultants and contractors, noting that they likely have more contractors than we have civilian employees.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's how you get your little kickback, your little dealy, is you say, oh, who wants to bid on this contract? Who's going to, you know, you never know who's going to end up with this contract. you know, but I can tell you this, I need a new swimming pool.
Hey, look who got a new swimming pool.
No, it's not like fancy pants.
Oh, okay, all right.
My swimming pool came on the back of a truck.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's in pieces.
Yeah.
And
yeah. It's in two boxes right now, still.
That whole thing weighed like 500 pounds. I felt bad for the truck driver. You know, we live on a dirt road.
Oh, my goodness.
If he had to use his hand truck.
Yeah.
And he even said it. He goes, yeah, he goes, I don't think people realize it. You live on a road like this.
Uh-huh.
He goes, I'm supposed to pull that through sugar sand.
No.
I can tell you there's no way he could have.
Not going to happen.
No. He could have backed up in a different way and maybe slid it on the driveway. But what I did was I just backed my pickup truck right back to his Tommy gate and easy peasy. Now I have to get it from the truck I'll drive the truck into the backyard.
Sure. But still got to move it around.
And go from there. But, yeah, I think it'll be a matter of cutting open the boxes and taking pieces out.
So you don't think when these people are wheeling and dealing, that's how they get their swimming pool?
No, I think they get, you know, really nice built-in.
Yeah, you're probably.
Although mine's going to be nice. I'm not complaining.
But
make it nice.
But you have to pay for it, unlike these folks who are just, you know.
Yeah, sometimes they get a little kickback action. That's one of the reasons why they like going with the contractors. They've got plenty of civilian employees could do the vast majority of the work. That's where a lot of waste comes in with the contractors. All right. It is 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. We've had some great interviews in the past week. Well, really, always ongoing. So the podcast is a great tool just in case you miss out. Happy Friday. It's the weekend, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's another day in paradise. Yeah. Happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:37. Gator men's baseball team. They will be playing today at noon versus East Carolina in a regional in the Carolinas. And that's noon on ESPN2. Hey, Cool in the Gang member, Michael Sumler. He passed away, died at the age of 71. He wasn't cool. He was just part of the gang, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He was in a fatal car crash in Mableton, Georgia.
That's sad.
And that's in Cobb County, and they pronounced him dead at the scene. He originally worked as the Grammy-winning band's stylist and wardrobe valet before eventually performing on stage with a group as a backup vocalist.
Nice.
Wow.
That's a nice transition there.
Yeah, worked his way up.
Yeah.
And well, if we're going to speak of people that have passed away, Bernie Kerik, remember him, the NYPD police commissioner, you know, America's cop, as he was referred to at times. He has passed away at the age of 69. I believe he had a heart-related illness. So, 69. Doesn't seem like you should be older than that, because he was already in a kind of a prominent position by 9/11. And,
yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that catches you up on that. What else is going on? School is out for summer.
For some.
Gilchrist County.
Yeah.
Today's the last day of school for the folks in Gilchrist County.
Enjoy.
Enjoy the snot-nosed little brats all summer long, baby.
Maybe that's why Alachua County just holds on to them for a couple more years. Don't they get out Tuesday or something?
June 3rd, whatever that day falls on, Monday, Tuesday. I think you're right. What? Did you say Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Now, the first is Sunday.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's true.
You know why I know that?
Why is that?
Because it's the beginning of hurricane season. Yes.
Yeah.
And I have I keep my eye on these things.
Have you been reading again?
Well, it's the same information I had yesterday, but it does come from the Sky Storm Center, brought to you by Radiant CU.
Yeah.
And that is that one of the European models shows that there's a possibility of formation of some sort of activity in the Eastern Gulf during the second week of June.
Ooh.
I know it's a little early.
Yeah.
And it's kind of early in the prognostication of some kind of activity.
Hmm.
But there it is. And look, we try to inform you. We want you to be prepared. Next week, of course, obviously, we'll be a little bit more focused on it. And for anybody who's a newbie and kind of new to the Sunshine State, we'll give you some of the information that's going to be helpful. Like, you know, don't play with down power lines.
Things you'd think were common sense, but people do really stupid stuff.
Yeah, turn around, don't drown when you see a road flooded over.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have these things in Florida called sinkholes, and you never know what is just a giant pothole with water over it, which could be bad enough, but what also could be a sinkhole. Yeah, not good. All right, so we've got that. We've got a Baylor defensive lineman, Alex Foster. He was pronounced dead early Wednesday morning after being found inside a car with multiple gunshot wounds. He was 18 years old and in Greenville, Mississippi, when he was shot, and he redshirted at Baylor during the 24 season. Police were called about the shooting right after midnight. They found him severely wounded inside the car, transported him to the hospital, but he was pronounced dead a short time later. Big 12 Conference offered condolences to Foster and his family, and sad, tragic, and don't really have a lot more information than that for at least right now, anyway. Hey, what's wrong with Jimmy Kimmel? I mean,
the show's only on till 10, Bob.
I just, these late-night hosts, I mean, look, you should be an equal opportunity offender. If it's funny, mm-hmm. Write it, perform it, the jokes, and it should be pretty easy, I think, to poke fun at both sides.
That's
politically,
the way,
you can always find somebody who said or done something silly.
But Carson and Leno, that's what they did.
They seem to find a balance.
They picked on everybody if there was something good. Yeah.
But yeah, Kimmel and a couple of the other bozos.
Colbert, he's one of the worst, too.
Yeah.
Just hateful.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, you invite Senator Cory Booker on your show. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, it's going to spiral.
And they wonder why his ratings, they're all being beat by a cable show, Gutfeld.
Yes.
Who I just think he's hilarious. But, they're getting beat. I mean, these are long-time, huge, established networks and network shows, and Gutfeld is crushing them.
That's hilarious.
Well, it just goes to show that, Americans are getting tired of putting up with this, bash anything that is, conservative mm-hmm. or of Trump. And so Cory Booker was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. What's the value in that? Are there a bunch of lefties that go, oh, man, Cory Booker's on tonight?
That'd be
I want to see
ones.
Him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just even wondering if they're...
Are they even there?
Excited to the point of where, they'll set an appointment.
Right.
Like, oh, Cory Booker's on, man. I don't know.
Wow.
So he was on Wednesday night to trash the authoritarian Donald Trump.
Oh, the authoritarian word.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the authoritarian.
Mm-hmm.
Booker specifically blasted Trump for daring to challenge Bruce Springsteen's almost endless abuse, while his host cheered and waited for his turn to attack the Republican who swept back in the Oval Office. The senator began by looking back at post-war Los Angeles and what he claimed was a warm receiving environment for the family in which he was raised, acting as a counterpoint to alleged hostility elsewhere in the nation. And he goes through all that. And Booker went on to compare then to now, flattering his host by saying, "We're in that time now. There's a reason why authoritarian leaders attack artists, because they're so powerful. And we are in one of these moral moments again." Oh, I love it when they talk about morals.
Wow.
That is really, we're in one of those moral moments. And attacking artists? No, I think it's really the other way around.
Because we do stories almost every day about lefties in Hollywood blasting the president. And
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he said, there's a reason why authoritarian leaders attack artists because they're so powerful. No, it proves when Trump got elected that the artists are not powerful at all politically.
Mm-hmm.
And not all that smart either.
No.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about. And the weekend is upon us. Enjoy. Happy Friday, 97.3, The Sky. Let's go, Gators. Gator men's baseball team playing in a regional in the Carolinas. They take on East Carolina today at noon on ESPN2. Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome. It is 6:50, 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. Quick note, the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally download your podcast. Easy peasy. Click on subscribe, and you will never miss a minute of the show. One of the things that's going on today, and I hope it gets enough attention, the news cycle, it is Friday.
Yeah, how's that?
China has been targeting U.S. military members. They've got overseas spy operations that have been occurring. A former CIA station chief says that China, is very, very busy and has government employees in the crosshairs in a big overseas spy operation. Jian Zhao and Li Tian, both active duty American Army soldiers, okay?
Wow.
They were arrested in March selling top secret information to individuals based in China. The very sensitive top secret information. Now, how does that possibly happen? Well, there's a lot of possibilities there, but usually the most direct one is the Chinese Communist Party calls on you to do something. You have to do it. You'll be rewarded. Somebody will probably pay you for it. But you're doing something to harm what I think you want it to be. You want to be part of the nation. You join the army.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So you've got.
That's messed up.
You've got them selling out America. You've got a U.S. IT specialist arrested trying to share and sell classified information with a foreign government. And this guy, Nathan Latch, 28-year-old IT specialist employed by the Defense Intelligence Agency, he didn't agree or align with the values of the Trump administration.
Okay.
Yeah, and he would be willing to share classified information that he could access, including completed intel products, unprocessed intel, and other assorted classified documentation. So he's based out of Northern Virginia. He communicated with an FBI agent. Of course, he didn't know it was an FBI agent. He thought it was a foreign government official. And he communicated with him multiple times and would confirm that he was ready to share the sensitive information.
So you're willing to sell out your country because you don't like somebody who's in office for 4 years.
Yes. That's how... Hmm. When I say agenda, I guess we should say obsession, this anti-Trump obsession.
Yeah.
And you're also seeing the same thing with judges.
Mm-hmm.
They pop up and they're able to, hamstring the president and him moving forward. They're affecting a lot of big things like foreign policy. The tariff thing is a very, very useful tool if it's administered, utilized, and bargained with properly. And clearly the guy to do that properly is Donald Trump. They don't care if they put America in peril. They don't care what economic damage could be done. It is, you got to get him. You got to get Trump. And the judges on this panel that ruled to stop the tariffs, which was later reversed on the appeals court, at least temporarily. But they're all longtime activist judges. Activists. The Supreme Court has got to step in and make some rulings limiting the power that these courts have over the it's the entire executive branch of our government. It's supposed to be one-third, right, of our branch? The executive branch. And you could just overrule that with a panel of judges or just a single judge?
I don't get it.
It's very troubling, and it's going to cause problems. And the folks that are, you know, that hate Trump, really, I guess they don't mind chaos. They don't mind problems because they also had to be, you know, in support of open borders.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that tell you right there? They don't care if 100,000 Americans die from fentanyl overdose. That's just, you know, oh, sorry about their collateral damage, but man, we got to have these open borders. No, don't try to make sense of it, because you won't be able to.
No.
Let's have a nice story. Isn't that what we need?
Sure, what you got?
A local mom raised thousands of dollars for a freshly graduated Georgia high schooler after she saw him rush to work just hours after his ceremony, still in his graduation clothes.
Wow.
Michael Baker picked up a shift at the Georgia restaurant where he worked after seeing the late-night rush. The 18-year-old had graduated from Mills Creek High School hours earlier, still wearing his graduation and medals while donning plastic gloves to bag orders at the fast food joint. That caught the attention of a customer, Maria Mendoza, who recorded a TikTok video of the hardworking baker slinging burgers instead of enjoying summer vacation. The video had been viewed over 3 million times by Thursday morning. The drive-through interaction occurred around 10 p.m. after Mendoza watched her daughter graduate from the same school. She was struck by how Baker was radiating joy and decided to start a crowdfunding campaign to help him chase his college dreams. The GoFundMe page raised nearly $50,000 by Thursday afternoon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, your hard work, it is good. You will reap benefits and rewards from it. And every once in a while, unbeknownst to you, somebody else that could wield some influence may be watching as well. I like it. That's a good story with a good outcome. Yeah. And I hope when he applies to college that he has it his way.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Was that cheesy? Burgerish?
A little bit, yeah.
Mmm, cheeseburger.